This is the calm before the storm, before the surge. And when it comes, and it will come, never will so many ask so much of so few. We'll do all that we can to support them.
COVID-19 officially arrived on our shores on Thursday, February the 27th, 2020. As the case count began to rise, Taoiseach Leo Varadkar announced on the 12th of March the beginning of the restrictions in this country. While weeks have passed, we have adapted to a new normality, adhering to strict new guidelines in an effort to suppress the virus. But the effects of these new restrictions have not been the same on everyone. This 10-part series looks at the effect that COVID-19 has had on people with disabilities in our community and on their carers. These are their stories. Alison Lawler is a mother of three and carer to her sons Alex and Thomas, who both have autism.
Well, I suppose for me initially when I heard about COVID-19, I was concerned, but I wasn't, I suppose, prepared really for the upheaval that it was going to bring to our household. I wasn't prepared for, you know, the difference in the routine, the effect it was going to have on the boys. I naively, you know, did presume that the schools would close, but I certainly didn't expect it to be closed until September. And, you know, for Thomas, the day centre in Dungarvan, I kind of knew it would close, but again, not for as long as it has taken now. I had huge concerns for my mother. She's 72, so I was very worried that, you know, if she was to get sick. Joe's dad as well is in the vulnerable category. So, like, we had worries for them, but I suppose for us as parents, we were looking at it more as a concern for other people, naively not really realising how much it was actually going to affect us. You know, when it started, I suppose when it, you know, the television, as you can imagine, like, it was just all over the TV and stuff. And so we kind of made a decision, really, that Alex wasn't going to be watching it. And, you know, he's only 11, so, you know, he doesn't need to know the horror stories, I suppose. And like in school, they had started with the hand washing. They had to bring in their own soap, their own towels. So he, I suppose, knew about it, as in there's a virus, we have to wash our hands, we have to be careful. You know, we certainly didn't say to him, people are dying from this. You know, we didn't, I suppose, let Alex know how serious the situation is. But Thomas is 20. And, you know, down at the day centre, they are very, I suppose, alert and aware of what's going on around them. And, you know, for Thomas, it was kind of, they started mentioning the vulnerable categories. He was concerned, how old was Nana? How old was Grandad John? Where do they come into it? You know, and he was asking my mother, how old was she? And he was worried what would happen if they were to get it. And watching the death toll, listening to it, seeing how it was rising, and I suppose really feeding into the downside of COVID-19. Thomas, I suppose, weren't you, Tom? You were worried when the numbers were very high, you know, when he'd be watching the news and,
you know. Yeah, it does seem to be coming down.
Yeah. It is coming down now, yeah, which is great. So it's coming down now and we're happy to see it coming down. But I suppose for Thomas, there's the uncertainty of the day centre, because we don't know, do we, Tom?
On May 1st, a five-step plan was announced by the Taoiseach to allow the country to begin lifting COVID-19 restrictions.
It maddened me so much last Friday that, you know, I could tell Alex he won't be going back to school till September. My husband Joe's out of work. He could see in the phases where his job would come into it, and he's coming into the July phase. Sophie's a Leaving Cert student. Again, there's uncertainty there for them. You know, Thomas was looking at me, what about me? And, you know, it was a very good question because I actually couldn't answer it. Nowhere in the phases of getting our country back have our children with disabilities factored into it, and it's an absolute disgrace. Again, they're getting forgotten about and left behind, and it really, really maddened me. just, it was like a kick into the stomach. It was just kind of like, how can they just completely ignore the fact that there's vulnerable adults and children out there, and home carers like myself that are, you know, doing our very best to, you know, entertain them, keep them motivated, structure some kind of a routine for them. And, you know, like Thomas would say to me, you know, really, Mammy, you know, there's nowhere I can go. There's nothing I can do. Like, he's going out for a walk with Joe with the dogs twice in the day. That's it, you know, and, like, there isn't anything outside, really, that you can stimulate him with, like, because, you know, Thomas loves animals. If Ardmore Farm was open, fantastic, you know, you could pass an afternoon that way. If the swimming pool was open, you could pass a bit of time, you know, taking him swimming, you know, Killa Woods, again, you know, that's not in our 5K. Like, there's only so many places, really, that you can go to entertain somebody. And, you know, he doesn't have, like, I suppose, a school structure. So it's very, very hard to fill his day. And, you know, I have huge concerns. I can see a regression in Thomas that, you know, he's vocally stemming now. He's doing, which is very loud. He hasn't done that in about 10 years. And, you know, that's very difficult then, because we've a Leaving Cert student in the house. She's trying to study and in one room, and then you've Thomas trying to self-regulate and vocal stemming in another room, and, you know, just coming downstairs, and, you know, he could pace up and down, you know, flapping his hands. He's 6'1", so he's a tall boy, you know, like, so, you know, it's just, it's very, very hard for them. And I think that the government has to start focusing on the disabilities and the side of the home carers, the vulnerable people that are at home, whose complete lives and routines have been turned upside down. You know, we've put so much hard work into Thomas and built him up to be such a fantastic, independent young man. And, you know, as the weeks go on, you can see that he's kind of losing that now again. And he's, you know, like, I mean, before this all started, Thomas was doing 2 days a week in WIT. He was doing a course. And, you know, it was fantastic to see him so confident and, you know, the independence coming that you could have only dreamed about. And then, you know, COVID hit, the services closed, and, you know, you're back to square one. And, you know, for myself, you know, it really, really highlighted to me that every adult with a disability deserves a placement, deserves a day centre. And unfortunately, that's not the case every year. You know, I know myself, there's waiting lists, and, you know, some people don't get places. And I think to think that if Thomas didn't have a day centre, this would be his life, I think that's very, very sad. I suppose on the other side then, Alex is 11, and he's in St. Killian's Special School in Mayfield. So Alex would have always had a very long day and week. He'd be picked up every morning about 25 to 20 days, and he wouldn't be home at 4:30. So, like, he's just living his best life at home, to be honest. Even though both boys are on the spectrum, they're completely different. They always have been, the way they present themselves. And so, you know, I suppose in a way, I knew Thomas would struggle. I just didn't really realise how, to what extent he was going to struggle, you know. And, you know, it's kind of highlighted for me the loneliness of, I suppose, being an adult with a disability when the support isn't there, you know, from an outside service. Alex, honestly, Linda, I have to say, you know, I've got to commend him. He just, you know, I suppose we treated the first kind of week or two, it was kind of like no school, you know, like every other child, this is great fun, you know, having, you know, doing a little bit of typing and a bit of IXL on his laptop and linking in with the school, who's been fantastic. Before he left, his teacher had set up like an online classroom where we were all, you know, to log in and get set up for our child. Even though Alex has autism, he also has dyslexia in the severe range. So he would attend St. Killian's for the reading school for a specific reading learning program, the Wilson program. So the way that works is, you know, the hope would be that as a child would do a year, they would come on in their reading and their writing and spelling ability, anything up to 2 years. So Alex was doing extremely well, and he was really progressing, and the confidence was back in him and everything. And, you know, just, you know, being able to pick up something and read it himself without having to constantly look to one of us for help to do it. He's not where he should be, but he was getting there. So again, now I've got huge concerns for him, because he's out of school since March. He won't be going back into school now again until September. And then when he goes back in September, he's going to have the struggle of readjusting to school. And that might take Alex up until the end of October. So he's missing out on months of a specific program that he got his place in that school for, you know. And there's waiting lists for that school as well. And, you know, I'm just worried that the opportunity that he has been given, because we were so lucky to get him the place there, that, you know, he's not going to benefit now to his full potential.
As well as the physical impact of COVID-19, many feel that the mental health impact is equally as concerning.
You know, I just found that there's days there when you just kind of go, God, you know, really, is there any break? Do you know, when is it going to end? Do you know, where is, you know, I've got fantastic friends, and we've got a little messenger group going, and, you know, there's banter coming to and fro in it, and, you know, I've no problem, and I've never had an issue. You know, if I'm struggling, I say it. Like, you know, that's just the way I am. You know, I don't hide stuff. Like, I just feel if you're struggling, say it. You know, if you don't let people know, they can't help you. And, you know, I put up on that messenger some days, oh God, today was just a terrible day. Do you know, today was just a really hard day. I found it very hard just to, you know, put on the mammy hat and get on with it. And I think all parents are feeling that, you know, whether they have children with disabilities or not. I think a lot of people are struggling, and, you know, there's going to be days when you're going to get up and kind of take on the world and be ready for it. And then there's going to be days when you just kind of, you're there sitting there kind of going, is it bedtime yet? I suppose my own mental health, I'd say I'm actually doing okay. Do you know the kind of way? I mean, like every other person, I'd say, you know, there has been days there I've had a few tears, and you just be kind of stressing a little bit and stuff. But I'm luckier than most. Like, you know, I know Joe probably wouldn't see it this way, but he's out of work, so I have that support from him at home as well. And, you know, he does take the boys out walking, you know, with the dogs. And, you know, there's an hour there then where I can just kind of sit down and go, okay, you know, the house is quiet, and Sophie'd be upstairs studying, or she'd come down and we'd have a chat and stuff. And so, you know, I am lucky that, you know, I have a partner in all this. And, you know, I do know a lot of families where there is single parents, and I, you know, I hold my hat up to them, because, you know, I don't know how they're doing it. Because, you know, I can leave the house and go for a walk, or, you know, go down to the shop or something. But if I was a lone parent, I couldn't do that, because I wouldn't be able to leave my children, you know. So, you know, there is a lot of people out there that are, I think, struggling as well, because they don't have that extra support. So, you know, as much as I could be killing Joe and giving out about him half the time, you know, in this sense, he's been a godsend, you know, a great support, and we're just kind of working it as best we can for ourselves.
Both Thomas and Alex explained their view of COVID-19.
Thomas, aren't you? You're missing your day centre.
I think everyone is a bit scared, but lately.
Yeah, everyone's missing the centre, aren't they?
Yeah, and it's kept me busy.
It kept you busy? Exactly, yeah.
My three positives are spending time with your family, having some free time with your having free time, and staying in your jams all day.
Absolutely, and anyone that knows Alex will know how much Alex loves his comfort. So this is like a dream come true for Alex. And his three negatives are:
don't spend time with your cousin, can't see the world, so we're like other, so we're like animals, don't see the rest of the world from different parts of the world, and we could possibly die. That's my third one.
Thank you.
I just have to commend the kids for, you know, getting on with it. And, you know, there is going to be households that it's not going to be smooth running. And I just, my heart goes out to them. It really, really does, because, you know, if this has highlighted anything for me, it's that, you know, every child with a disability deserves services, deserves, you know, the support.
If you are from the Yall area and your child has just been diagnosed with autism, please contact Parents Together in Autism via their Facebook page.
This is a Community Radio Yall production made with the support of CCAD under Goal 1 of the CCAP 2020 programme.